Okay, would the young people come and join me this morning? I will hold it up so it doesn't make. Okay. Well, this is really hectic. You can't get anybody. Okay? Oh, it's so good to see everybody. Come on, there's plenty of room. Oh, and we're getting so big. Soon you're going to be an adult. Good to see everybody. Come on. Here's your right arrow. There's lots of room. Oh, my goodness. We'll just kick the congregation out soon. We'll just all meet in the pew. How are you guys doing? It's good to see everybody. Are you ready for spring? I am ready for spring, but I wanted to tell you a story about the winter snail today. Have any of you ever heard the story of the winter snail? No?
No.
No, you haven't heard? Okay. Well, the winter snail. This is the story of the winter snail. You know, there was a cherry tree in the woods. And this is a cherry tree. Okay, now, of course it was a tree. But at the bottom of the cherry tree, there was a whole bunch of snails, and they kind of lived in the dirt during the wintertime, you know, trying to keep warm, all right? But one day, one of the snails, in the middle of winter, started crawling up the cherry tree. Crawling up the cherry tree. Crawling up, and one of his friends, who was kind of sleeping, he looked up and he said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "Well, I'm getting to the cherry blossoms." And the other snail said, "Well, there's no cherry blossoms at the top of that tree." And he said, "There will be by the time I get there." And that's the story of the winter snail. And you know what? I thought to myself, that's just like us. Do you know the Lord tells us that we are to trust Him and to have faith in Him? And that snail, that's, sure. And that, oh, you know what? Oh, I need it. The other church. I need to take it up to Zion. Okay, I'm sorry. Otherwise, it would have been fine. Anyway, the snail had faith that when he got to the top of the tree, that spring would have arrived, and that the blossoms would be out. Okay, but he didn't see that there were any blossoms up there. He just knew that's what was going to happen. And you know what that is? That's faith. And you know what? God tells us that we are to have faith in His Son and that we should trust Him because He is going to take care of everything. Now, that doesn't mean that we always know what's going on. In fact, a lot of times we don't have a clue what's going on. But that's okay because we know and we have faith God is working it out. You know what? My husband at 5:30 this morning put that off our chairs. He did. Anyway, so we have faith that we know that God's going to work everything out, just like that winter snail started at the bottom of that cherry tree in the winter. So let's have a prayer. Let's bow our heads, heads bowed, eyes closed, hands folded. Okay, as best we can. Well, Father God, You tell us that we are to trust You, but there are some times that we can't see how You're working. But we pray that Your Holy Spirit would help us and that we would remember that we can trust You always, no matter what it looks like. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we have some crackers there. Would you grab hold of that? Yes, sir. Yep. Every morning, John and I watch Joe Snedeker, who's the local weatherman on Channel 16 News. How many of you watch Joe Snedeker in the morning? Predominantly, most everyone. If you're a guest, you all know who this fellow is. He's a rather strange fellow. Well, we watch so that we know how to dress for that day. And if he says there's going to be a big snowstorm on that day, maybe coming around 3 o'clock, I make sure that I'm not at Lehigh Valley Hospital at 3 o'clock. You know, I mean, I change my schedule depending on what he says. We both adjust our schedules depending on what the report is. We believe Joe Snedeker when he says it's going to snow, and we believe him when he says it's going to rain, or if he says it's going to be cold, we believe him. If he says it's going to be warm, we do. Michelle, we do. If he calls for snow, I wear boots. If he calls for rain, I make sure I've got an umbrella in the car. We believe, Joe Snedeker. Abraham believed God. What more powerful statement of faith can there be than those three words? Abraham believed God. Now, I want to make a real important distinction about this statement. Scripture does not say that Abraham believed in God. It says Abraham believed God. And because of his belief in what God said, Abraham was credited with righteousness. Now, it wasn't just that Abraham believed in God as in the belief God exists, or that there was a belief in some superhuman being who created the universe. Abraham believed what God had to say. He believed God was who he said he was, and he believed that God would do what it is he said he would do. Just like John and I believe what Joe Snedeker says about the weather. Now, whether we believe God or not seems to be very important in the way it comes to God interacting with us. You know, if Joe Snedeker says it's going to rain, we take umbrellas. But if God tells you that his son will return to earth as the sovereign judge of all, and that you need to get this urgent message out to others, it seems like there's a whole bunch of us out there that really question what importance that is in your life. You might even think to yourself, well, I believe it. But it hasn't happened in 2,000 years. You know, I doubt it's going to happen in my lifetime. Really? If God told Abraham it was going to rain in the middle of the desert, Abraham would take an umbrella. Well, okay, he wouldn't have had an umbrella, but he certainly would have run for cover. When God told old man Abraham that he was going to become a father, even in his old age, Abraham began to build a cradle. He started putting a nursery together. When God told Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations and his offspring were going to be too numerous to count, Abraham began to divvy up his land mentally. When God told Abraham to pick up everything and move to a new home, Abraham wasted no time packing up his belongings and following God's command. Abraham believed God. Abraham responded to God because Abraham believed God, and God, in a very big way, responded to Abraham because Abraham believed God. Now, even when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, we know the story on the altar in the mountain, Abraham believed that it was the right thing to do. And Abraham believed that he had to do it because God told him to do it. He knew God was going to work it out somehow. And only when the angel of God stopped him and gave him another sacrifice did Abraham change his course of action. And that, too, was because Abraham believed God. And what did Abraham's belief get him? Well, at first it got him ridiculed. Even Sarah laughed at it. The very thought of a 90-year-old woman and a man on the brink of 100 having their first child together, I mean, really, that's funny, I don't care who you are. But God showed them both it wasn't a laughing matter. Abraham's belief in God, though, brought him challenges and brought him turmoil. He had to look, you know, in Sodom and Gomorrah, searching for enough righteous people to get God to save the cities. Because he believed God, he found himself in a situation where he thought he had to lie about his wife, to say she was his sister in order to save his life. Because you know what, even though Abraham believed God, he didn't always trust God's wisdom. Even though he believed God, he didn't always want to hear what God had to say. He didn't always want to hear that God demanded righteousness from his people. But he was more than ready to believe that through the covenant that God made with him, that people would be credited with righteousness through their faith. So what did Abraham's belief get him? It got him salvation. Think about what others believed. Noah believed God when he said there was going to be a great flood, and he didn't just get down on his knees and pray. He built an ark. Moses believed God when God decided that he wanted his people, the Israelites, to be free from Egyptian captivity. Moses didn't hide in the wilderness and then later just join the Exodus as it went by. He went back to Pharaoh, risked his life, and he said, "Let my people go." The young child named David believed God when he thought he could defeat this Philistine named Goliath. He only had a slingshot. You know how that turned out. John the Baptist believed God when he told them that Messiah was already in the world. And John preached repentance of sins to a wicked world, and thousands turned to God. Jesus believed his Father when he stood in front of Pontius Pilate and said nothing in his own defense. And he believed his Father when he carried his own cross on the path to Calvary. The disciples of Jesus believed God when their resurrected leader told them to go to all nations and make disciples of all people. They all believed God. It wasn't always easy to follow through on that belief, but they believed. Noah, he had to watch the destruction of mankind. Moses had to share in the harsh judgment of his people while they wandered around for 40 years. And then he had to stay behind as they crossed over into the promised land. David became a great king of God's people, but you know, that road to greatness was paved with potholes and roadblocks. He was a mess. John the Baptist, before Jesus, and the disciples of Jesus all sacrificed their lives for the Lord. Jesus himself believed his Father even as he hung upon the cross and gave up his life. Many great people believed God. And they went always from believing in God to believing God. You know, believing didn't necessarily mean that they blindly, though, would run into something. Sometimes they did hesitate. It took a little convincing on God's part. The prophet Jonah, for example, you know, he didn't want to hear what it was God had to say. He didn't like the outcome of what God had planned. But in the end, with the help of a fish, Jonah's belief won out. And God's plan was carried through. Now this morning, I'm just wondering how different we are. You know, we believe God. We believe that Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world to die for our sins. We believe that. Every one of us here believes that. We believe in the promise of Jesus as the Christ, and we put our faith in that promise. All of us here do. And yet, we still hold back when it comes to putting that faith in the everyday living of our lives. We just think that somehow it's for the future, or maybe it's just not for right now. We don't always want to do what it is that we know God is telling us to do. We're terrible about that. When we look at a lifetime, when we look back over the years, a span of time, you know, we can accept the truth of God's grace. Oh yes, God bailed me out, you know, God was here, God always in the past. Oh, God was always there for me. And we can put our faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life, but when it comes to putting that same confidence in Jesus to see us through today, or tomorrow, or the day after that, we get all crazy, and we get filled with anxiety, and somehow we think we have to fix everything. And we're just not so sure that we want to trust him completely, just not right now. Okay, I'll trust him for my salvation. But you know what? I'll take care of this right now. God, I got it. Let me tell you what we need to learn. What we need to learn is that eternity starts today. Jesus' saving grace applies just as much during income tax time as it does for getting us through the gates of heaven. The age-old debate, though, you talk to people like this, it's always, you know, do you believe in God or not? Is there a God or isn't there a God? You know, we have this debate with people that we know. And you know, for many people, it is enough that they just believe that there is a God. You know, we believe in God. Yeah, oh, we believe in God. You know, you talked about the things of the faith. Oh, I believe in God. Okay, well, what does that mean? They never quite get beyond the belief in God to where they're able to totally trust in what it is that God says. And to trust Him for their everyday living. For them, simply putting their trust in the fact that God exists, they think that's enough. Enough for what? Believing in God becomes their basis for understanding salvation, which means that they don't understand it at all. These are the ones who say, boy, I hope I make it to heaven. If you are just hoping you make it to heaven, oh my gosh, we need to talk. But that's the prevailing understanding in our world. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what you believe about God. You know, just as long as you believe in some kind of a God. Huh? But what kind of faith is that? You know, we don't have faith in faith. You know, there's an object for our faith, and he deserves our trust and our faith. You see, but Abraham, he believed God. And through that belief, he was credited with righteousness, the kind of righteousness that God demands of his creation. The kind of righteousness that only comes to us through Jesus Christ. I'm a little unsettled when someone tells me, you know, well, I believe in God. Because we talked about this yesterday, guys, didn't we? This creeps me out. The book of James, I believe in God, and then, you know, and these words in James go through my head. James 2:19, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. That should make us sit up and take notice in our pews, shouldn't it? You know, some things have to be believed to be seen. If we don't believe the powerful words God has spoken to us, you know, we are going to miss Him working in our lives. And we will never see the marvelous things that He wants to accomplish in our lives. And you know what? What is it that we've got to lose? Because Abraham believed God, he was credited with righteousness. It was his belief, the faith he demonstrated in that belief, that made him righteous before God. It wasn't his works. It wasn't his attempts at impressing God, but only by following through on believing what God had told him, so that the blood that was shed at Calvary flowed back as well as forward. Back to Abraham as well as forward to us. You know, in his letter to Romans, Paul says that if we work for wages, then we expect to get paid. And we expect it because something is due us. We're owed something. It's the old adage, how's it go? You know, day's work for a day's pay. But if we don't work and we still get paid, that's called something. That's called a gift. It's something undeserved. And we have a name for that in church talk. It's called grace. Abraham and all the others were credited with righteousness as a gift. It came not through anything they had done, but only through what they believed was done for them. And they believed God when he said, my grace is sufficient for you. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, he told us that his promise comes to us by faith, that we might rely totally on the grace of God for our salvation. Man, and that grace is guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. But you see, we have to decide if we're going to take the gift. We have to decide if we trust him. When Joe Snedeker says it's going to rain, we take an umbrella. God's offering us a gift. He offers it to each one of us. and he truly offers it with no strings attached. And I know it sounds too good to be true, but I'm here to tell you, you can believe it. Abraham did, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we trust you. And we pray, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit and take up residence in our hearts, and that we would live every day in accordance with your word, hanging on your promises, the only thing that will last for eternity.